Good morning. Today we embark on the study of the book of Esther, lesson 2. The title of chapter 3 is No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's according to Isaiah 54 verse 17. And the title for chapter 4 is Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. That's Esther chapter 4 verse 14. King Ahasuerus had a chief minister by his side named Haman, whose power was very great because the king liked him, and he even told all the ministers and servants to bow before him when they meet him. The only person who never bowed down to Haman was Queen Esther's foster father, Mordecai. Many people say that Mordecai did not bow down to people because he is an Israelite and only bows down before God. This is half true. First of all, the law of Moses did not prohibit people from showing respect to those in authority. So Jews sometimes do bow down to government officials as a sign of respect. This kind of bowing down is not a kind of idol worshipping. It is a sign of respect. So why wasn't Mordecai willing to do so? Because Haman was an Amalekite, whereas Mordecai was an Israelite. The enmity between these two nations can be traced back to the time when Israel came out of the land of Egypt and entered Canaan. The Amalekites had been the enemies of the Jews for almost 1,000 years. Mordecai simply refused to bow down to a longtime enemy. Haman's hostility towards Mordecai expanded from Mordecai himself to his whole nation. He wanted to kill the Jews, regardless whether if they are men, women, children, nobles, or common people. He also set a date to kill them, just like how the farmers set the time to slaughter pigs. It seems very extraordinary that a time needed to be set for the massacre of the entire Jewish people. The Israelites that were to be killed included those who followed Zerubbabel back to Israel to build the holy city, which was very widely covered. Did Haman really hated the Israelites so much to even include babies and infants? How can a man be so evil? There is darkness that always wanted to take the place of worship in the hearts of God's people throughout history. From the scripture, you can see is the conflict in the palace. One was the chief minister who insisted that everyone shall worship him. The other was the king's official who refused to bow down. The underlying revelation is to show the forces of light against darkness, and that light and darkness can never be in harmony. If the Israelites believe God is the only one to be exalted, then for Haman it was not permissible, as Haman's arrogance had made himself a god. So from afar it was the event of Haman, and from closer up it was a regime event, as politics of the world try to tell us that through their mechanism or systems, it is possible to change the destiny of mankind. Such as Hitler's cult of the individualism, arid regimes and political parties. Philosophical thinking also try to tell us that they can build an ideal world. For example, Russell, Plato, Hegel, Freud, Zhuangzi, Confucius, Laozi, etc., to name a few. Even the so-called pseudo-scientific theory of evolution tell us where we come from and how humans are to have the fittest to survive. These have resulted in an endless cycle of infinite competition with each other. Throughout the history of the generations, these systems are telling us one thing: there is darkness that always wanted to take the place of worship in the hearts of God's people. It was such darkness that caused Haman to not deal with Mordecai alone, for instance, instead of assassinating him or just finding fault with him and let the king get rid of him, he planned to destroy the Jewish people throughout the kingdom. So how do we see it when the world is experiencing this level of persecution and disaster at such catastrophic level? From a human point of view, it is absolutely impossible to reverse this situation. But don't forget that they are God's people. When we look at the whole scenario from the beginning to the end, then we know how wonderful God's arrangement is and how ironic it is for those who resist him. The first step that Haman did was to cast lot to determine the proper date for the massacre. But do you remember the truth that is recorded in the Bible at Proverbs chapter 16 verse 33? The lot is cast into the lap, but it is every decision from the Lord. Our God is the ruler of all things, both great and small. The Persians called cast lot as pearl. Unexpectedly, the day Haman intended to destroy the Jews turned out to be the day that God saved the Jews. Later, this day of pearl became a day of universal celebration and rejoicing in the Jewish history. Oftentimes, when we see the coming of persecution, such as some recent regulations and requirements that circulated around have made people very uneasy and many Christians panic. But I'd like to remind every one of us from the example of this scripture, we should remember the lesson from the days of pearl. Do you know how wonderful the hand of the Lord is? There's no place in the world that is so dark that the grace of God cannot reach. This is the hand of the living God, the hand of your Savior. No matter how terrifying things are, God has prepared the reverse celebration day for his people ahead. Okay, let's move on to chapter 4. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this? If Esther chapter 4 verse 14. When the news about the execution of all the Jews spread throughout the country, the Jewish people were shocked. Everyone wept and put on sackcloth and ashes. This was the tradition of the Israelites. When they encountered any difficult problems, they did not feel like eating or put on beautiful clothes, even have no motivation to wash their faces, but only to weep and pray. That's why it's described as sackcloth, ashes, and mourning. Mordecai asked Esther to use her queen's position to plead for the Jews. Esther answered Mordecai, reminding him that anyone who goes into the inner court of the king without being summoned shall be put to death, unless he holds out the golden scepter to her and forgives her. Esther told Mordecai the complication that King Ahasuerus had not summoned her for 30 days. Perhaps the king no longer favored her. What was she talking about? In fact, indeed, there were difficulties and obstacles. It is a fact that seeing the king without permission will put to death it is those who approach him, and that she has lost favor with him for the past 30 days. What to do and when we are faced with such an obvious difficulty? We must always remind ourselves that God is in control of everything. What he requires of his people is always our heart to have the right attitude. So Mordecai answered directly to Esther's reasoning. She said, even if she is a queen, she would neither be spared when the rest of the Jews were killed. If she had not acted, God would have raised up another person to save his people. But Esther herself would have perished. She may have given the position of a queen in order to use this opportunity to save her people. I have to mention something about Mordecai. Mordecai did not bow down to Haman. Mordecai came to Esther and made this powerful declaration. Mordecai knows God, and obviously his knowledge of God is higher than Esther. But we can see what Esther could do, Mordecai could not do. Brothers and sisters, although you are not a preacher, pastor, queen or minister, but you could do something today that many preacher, pastor, queen or minister are not able to do. That is what I always say. Every believer is in God's plan and play an important part in history. So if your wealth and possession are blessed by God today, then you are stewards of God's money in his house. You can do good works as a form of showing forth the love of God to the people around you. You can share the gospel to those who are lost. Do you know the reason behind everything that God has blessed you with for such a time as this? If you are full of God's blessing and wisdom, then you should use your gifts in the house of God. Do you know that you have received the gift of wisdom for such a time as this? You have received spiritual gifts to serve him for such a time as this, including talents that he has given to you. If you do not use the resources, abilities, and position that God has given to you, then you will lose the opportunity to glorify God. Esther made a response that was extremely pleasing to God by fasting and praying in the hope of getting God's help while carrying out her dangerous mission. In the Old Testament, prayer was often accompanied by fasting. Esther said, "If I perish, I perish." The meaning behind this faith-breaking decision is the danger before me is great and obvious. The edict is very clear. The king's heart is elusive, and the king was so harsh to his former queen Vashti. However, I do not want to ignore my duty and to my people and to God. Then if I perish, I perish, said Esther. How should Christians behave when they are faced with difficulties and temptation? Be optimistic, not fatalistic. It means just follow God's will and God will be responsible for the results. May you walk in the Spirit to glorify His name. The scripture for memory this week is found in Esther chapter 4 verse 14. For if you remain completely silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this.